Returning to Matthew 7 and reading just one verse this morning, verse 12. Matthew 7 and 12. It was in 1902 that James Cash Penny moved to Wyoming to manage a Golden Rule store. He said, "I believe in adherence to the Golden Rule, to faith in God and country. I would rather be known as a Christian than as a merchant." But you know him as J.C. Penny. Now, let's look at this verse that talks about the Golden Rule. The Bible never uses those words, but this is the reference when we talk about the Golden Rule. Matthew 7 and verse 12. "So in everything, do to others what you would have them do to you, for this sums up the law and the prophets." This one principle teaches us three things. First of all, that we must learn to think of someone besides ourselves. The world is full of takers, but very few givers. Some people will, in fact, take all that you have to give. They are me-first people. They are the ones who are the head of every line. And that Jesus teaches us here to consider someone besides ourselves. This is what Jesus means when we must love our neighbor as ourselves. How do we love those that are different? How do we love those with whom we disagree? We have to remember that every person is created in the image and likeness of God. For us to treat a human being with contempt is to insult God the Creator who made them. And so even when we disagree, God sets the example to us. Notice in the very previous verse, I just read verse 12, but verse 11 says, "Even though we are evil, our Father in heaven gives good gifts to those that ask Him." Now, if God is able and gracious enough to return good for evil, He can give us the grace to do the very same thing. And that's what Paul is writing about in Romans chapter 12. He says, "As much as lies within you, as much as you are responsible, live at peace with all men." And then that chapter ends up with these words, "Do not be overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good." Ephesians 6 says that we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. That's a reference to humanity. People are only pawns of the devil. Many times, people do not realize that they are puppets being used. And so when people say hurtful things, when people do mean things, we need to realize that in many cases, they don't realize that they are being manipulated. And so we realize that the devil is our enemy, and we serve God by serving people, even those with whom we disagree. Here's what Jesus said later on in Matthew. He said, "I was hungry, you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, you gave me drink. I was a stranger, you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, you looked after me. I was in prison, you came to visit me." And Jesus is teaching very clearly that when we minister to other people, we are ministering to Him. God doesn't have any need. There's no shortcomings that we can equip God or minister to God, but God wants us to show His love just as He has shown His love to us. So the second thing, first of all, we look that we have to think of someone besides ourselves. Secondly, we treat others the way we want to be treated. Now, I saw a bumper sticker one time that says, "Do unto others before they do it to you." That's not what it's talking about. There are those who say, "Do unto others as they do it unto you." Well, that's the law of retaliation. In other words, if you give it to me, I'll give it right back to you. That's not the Christian philosophy. Then the golden rule in some instances is, "He who has the gold makes the rules." I've had to deal with that before, and I imagine you have as well. But Jesus says, "Do unto others as you would want to be treated." I want to tell you an extended story that I think illustrates this better than any real philosophical discussion could. You probably don't remember the name Erich Honecker, who rose to power in communist East Germany. He became the leader in 1971, and for 18 years he became a wealthy man while the people of East Germany were oppressed. But if you remember back in those days, about 1989, the tide begins to turn in this communist country. October of 1989, 500,000 Germans in East Germany gather for prayer in Lipez. He gives orders for them to be shot on the spot, but instead what happens is they pray him out of office. Do you remember those momentous days? October 18th, 1989, he resigned. Now, about that time, it was November that the Berlin Wall came down, and on December 3rd, at noon, millions of Germans joined hands all across East Germany. For a quarter of an hour, they stood in silence as they had joined hands to make a human cross that spread all across that entire nation. Well, Honecker was expelled from the Communist Party. The reunified Germany charged him with manslaughter for having ordered those border guards to shoot East Germans as they tried to escape. His trial started in late 1992. By then he was 77 years old, recuperating from cancer surgery, and he was called on stand to the charges of treason. He'd only been in court a day, and they determined he was too sick to even stay in prison. But by then, he and his wife were so hated, they had no place to go. They had a villa nearby, but they'd been banished, were not even allowed into that region. It was then that a local pastor, who directed a church-ran convalescent center, he was contacted about taking in the Honeckers. The pastor was not sure how to respond. He had bitter memories of the Berlin Wall that had divided him from his own family. That wall had prevented him from going to his own father's funeral. Honecker's wife had run the Ministry of Education, and all of the pastor's 10 children had been denied admission into any university because they had refused to join the Communist Youth League. But now he's the director of this convalescent center. It's their mission to take in the poor, the sick, and the homeless. And the former Prime Minister of East Germany fits all three descriptions. He's poor, he's sick, and he's homeless. But the center had a waiting list, and Pastor Homer decided it would not be fair to bump Honecker up to the head of the line. It might create resentment. And so he decides this is the only alternative. Now, before I tell you what he decided, I know you're already thinking, I know how I would treat you. I know what I would do. But remember, we're talking about the golden rule, aren't we? He says, the only way I can solve this problem is to invite Honecker and his wife into my own home as our private guests. And so the day arrived when Honecker arrived at the pastor's home. This man who was formerly the dictator, the man who had all power over East Germany, he arrives looking dazed and confused. The description is he looks like a lost little boy. The pastor comes to the door and says, "Welcome to my home. I know you've come here to convalesce and rest, and I hope you'll find the quiet and peace you need here." Not everyone in East Germany understood what was going on. The pastor even received some hate mail. Eventually, he writes a letter to the local newspaper explaining, "I'm not trying to interfere with justice. I am simply trying to help two people in need." And in that letter, he explained that he felt compelled to act as he did because of Jesus and his example. He refers to the example when Jesus visits the home of Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus was the hated tax collector. He was involved in extortion. And yet Jesus visits his home. And Jesus commands us to love our enemies. And so the pastor says, that's why I've opened my home to this man who's done so much to us. Well, let me fast forward. The rest of the story is the charges against Honecker were suspended in January of 1993. He was exiled to Chile, where he died the following year. You see, before he died, he encountered a greater power than communism. He encountered a greater philosophy than that of Karl Marx. He understood the power of the gospel, the power of love. And he understood what it means when Paul says, do not be overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good. Now, earlier in the Sermon on the Mount, we looked at this statement that the meek will inherit the earth. And sometimes we have the feeling that if we turn the other cheek, that if we show good towards evil, that's a losing proposition. This is exactly how Christianity will take over the world, by the example that Pastor Homer showed to this communist official. And so that's a very convicting story, and one that comes out of recent history. Many of us lived through those events, if we can remember back, and all of the transition that was happening during that time. Christianity prevailed. Now, let me also go on to say that Jesus here says, when we live by the golden rule, we have fulfilled the requirements of the law. The problem with the law is that too often it is reduced to simply a collection of do's and don'ts. It's a bunch of rules and regulations. And it's very easy for us to become legalistic, judgmental, and follow the letter of the law, but not the spirit of the law. In the Sermon on the Mount, just by way of review, five times in chapter 5, Jesus corrected that kind of narrow thinking. Do you remember Jesus says, you have heard it said by them of old, but I say unto you, each case Jesus is bringing the law back into proper balance. And he goes on to tell us that love is the fulfillment of the law. Now, if you study comparative religions, many of them will be very quick to tell you that every religion in the world has their own version of the golden rule. You can go online, you can find a poster that's got 21 different religions. And essentially, at least at face value, it looks like they're all saying the same thing. The atheists, those who try to punch holes in Christianity, will say that the golden rule existed long before Jesus said this. And their conclusion, once they tout all of this evidence, is that, see, there are many roads that lead to God. There's nothing unique about Christianity. There's nothing unique about Jesus Christ and what he said. As a matter of fact, this is the common link that links all religions together. And really, we're all saying the same thing. We all believe the same thing. And so there's nothing superior at all about Christianity. Now, that's the common belief among liberals. Now, I would agree that all mankind may want the same thing. But I would say that the only way we can get there is through the grace that comes through Jesus Christ. Yes, it may be true that Buddha and Confucius and all of the great moral teachers of history have made a similar type statement. But you see, they're all dead and gone and are not able to come alongside you and empower you to keep the golden rule. It's one thing that we may agree on the golden rule, and I'm not sure that we even have the same understanding. See, some people say that the golden rule is simply the law of reciprocity. The law of reciprocity is what goes around comes around. It's almost like a view of karma, that if you do good things will come back to you. This is just kind of generic religion. you have these movements that advocate doing random acts of kindness. Have you ever heard of people that'll just give out $10 bills as a random act of kindness? And say, see, there's Christianity doesn't have any edge on world religions. But I think that this goes beyond the law of reciprocity. This is not simply saying that if you do good things will come back to you. I think here Jesus is teaching the law of initiation, that you're the one who initiates the good. We live in a world of evil. We live in a world where people do bad things, say bad things to us, and we simply don't give back to them as they give to us, but we're the ones who have enough grace, we have enough of God's love in our heart, that we turn that back around. That's the hard thing to do. You say, as long as people are kind to me, I can be kind back. But what if they're unkind to me? Do you have the grace to be kind back? And many of the world religions may teach some kind of a law of reciprocity, some kind of a law that we ought to believe in a good karma, that we ought to do good things and good things will come back. But in many cases, that may be our philosophy, that may be our religion, but when you do something bad towards me, I just give it right back to you. See, it's a whole lot easier to believe in it than it is to follow it. It's only the indwelling Holy Spirit within us that enables us to return good for evil. The story is told of an Indian chief. He was the chief over the Delawares. And he had heard this discussion about the golden rule and immediately declared it was impossible. He said, it can't be done. About a half hour later, he came back and said, you know, I've been reflecting on this golden rule that Christians talk about. And he says, if the great spirit who made man would give him a new heart, he could keep this commandment. But he said, there's no other way it could be kept. Now, all of the great religions of the world may teach something similar to this, but the only way we can live up to it is to have a new heart. The only way we can live up to it is to have God give us that kind of love. And let me say that sometimes we as Christians fall short of this, don't we? Unless we keep full of God's love, we'll not react to the stresses of life in a loving way. God wants us to be so filled with His love that we have something to give. But if we do not walk closely with God, we go dry. And when we go dry, we have nothing to give. And then we become judgmental and harsh. And notice, look again at verse 12. The emphasis here is not on how strict we are, but the emphasis is on how consistent we are. Verse 12, don't miss these first words. So in everything, in every situation, to every person, treat others. It's not how strict you are, it's how consistent you are. This is to be the governing principle of our life. And that leads me bring us to a close this morning by evaluating our own influence. Do we have credibility? I remember in another pastorate, taking a stand against abortion. I remember going down to the local newspaper talking to some of the journalists, and they told me that many of the pastors who also stood against abortion were so harsh and so mean-spirited in what they said that they had no credibility in the community. May God help us to speak the truth in love. May God help us to stand for truth, but to treat others the way we would want to be treated. One of the problems that sometimes pastors have in inviting people to church is the reputation of the people who already go there. Sometimes we have difficulty in getting people to come into an environment where there's not this consistency. Well, let me close with this story. A little boy, years ago, before the days of cell phones, a little boy stepped into a business and asked if he could use the phone. Well, the owner kind of eavesdropped on the conversation. He only heard one side, but he heard the little boy say, Mr. Jones, would you like to hire a boy to run errands for you? Oh, well, maybe you'd like somebody different. You say you don't need anybody? The little boy hung up, and the owner kind of felt sorry for him. He said, son, son, don't give up. You'll get a job somewhere. Oh, the boy said, I've already got a job. As a matter of fact, I work for Mr. Jones. I was just checking up on myself. And I think that's what we need to do sometimes, is check up on ourselves. A good way to do it is to pray this prayer. Let the beauty of Jesus be seen in me, all His wonderful passion and purity. O Thou Spirit Divine, all my nature refine, till the beauty of Jesus be seen in me. That's what's attractive about Christianity. That is the superiority of Christianity. It's not that we have better rules or more rules or stricter rules. It's a matter that we are enabled to live by the golden rule. Let's bow our heads and ask the Lord to help us. Heavenly Father, help us to treat others as we would want to be treated, not so that that will initiate some good luck and it'll come back around to us, but help us to treat others the way we would want to be treated because we're so filled with the love of God that we want to share your love with someone else. Make us gracious when others are ungracious. Make us kind when others are unkind. Lord, help us as we take inventory on our own lives. Forgive us where we fall short. These things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.